Stand as you are able for the gospel reading from John chapter 6, verses 51 through 58. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Breathe on us the breath of life. Amen. Research has shown us that the kind of food we eat has an impact on our lives. Continually eating processed food that is loaded with sugar and chemicals that we can't pronounce is linked to a lot of physical health issues, especially in locations that have been called food deserts. In these impoverished areas, in the inner city, in rural areas, where there is a lack of access to and knowledge of whole foods, there is a higher increase of diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and heart disease. On the other hand, eating lots of whole foods like veggies, fruits, and good fats promotes better physical health. We know that the kind of food we eat becomes part of our body as we consume it and digest it. It courses through our bodies and becomes part of us, for good or for ill. So the old adage, "You are what you eat," really does ring true. Now, Jesus has been talking a lot about food in John chapter 6, particularly about bread. He calls himself the bread of life and is continuing to explain what he means by that. In the conversation from the lectionary text 2 weeks ago, Jesus was talking with a crowd whom he had just fed loaves and fish, and they misunderstand what he means when he says he's the bread of life. Then in our text from last week, Jesus was talking to the Jewish religious leaders, and they complain about his claim that he is bread from heaven. Well, today, in our text, the complaining of the religious leaders has turned into an intense argument among themselves. They are arguing because Jesus takes his claim a step further. Not only is Jesus the bread from heaven, but now he says that in order to have life, people must eat his flesh and drink his blood. And the religious leaders are outraged. Now, to us modern readers, we aren't that outraged when we hear this because we've heard it often and the surprise effect has been lost on us. But to Jesus' audience at this time, it not only sounded like cannibalism, but it goes against the Jewish religious laws about not eating the blood of a living creature and not touching a dead carcass. And now Jesus is claiming that folks should eat his flesh and drink his blood. As we hear it today, we know that Jesus isn't talking about cannibalism. So what is he talking about? To answer this, let's start with what he's not talking about. Jesus is not offering us junk food. There are so many things in our world that offer us the illusion of nourishment and sustenance. In one of the commercials for Fruit Loops, You guys know Fruit Loops, right? Which is a multicolored cereal, little O's, that is marketed to kids. Their commercial claims that it is a fruity, nutritious breakfast. But the reality is, there is no actual fruit in this cereal. It is highly loaded with processed sugar and a list of obscure ingredients. And, spoiler alert, the O's are really just one flavor, which are dyed different colors to make you think they are different flavors, but they're actually the same flavor. I'm sorry if I ruined your Fruit Loop experience. This cereal does not deliver on its promise of a substantial, nutritious meal. There are many examples like this in our lives where we are promised sustenance that lasts. The promise of a long-lasting relationship that ends in heartbreak. The promise of a steady, tenured career that ends with a pink slip. The promise of power and influence that is snatched by us from people who are younger and more driven. The promise of health and energy that seems unending when we're young, but slowly fades away as we age. We consume these promises, take them into ourselves, and expect them to deliver, but they don't. As we consume them, and their illusions of enduring nourishment breaks, we become broken, just like their broken promises. We are what we eat. But while our bellies are full of broken promises, Jesus comes to us and says, "My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." And as he says this, he is offering to us something that lasts. He is offering something that will truly nourish and sustain us, not only in the short term, but in the long term. God provided manna in the wilderness for the Israelites, and it was good food that God provided for their short-term need. But Jesus extends this provision by offering us whole food that delivers on its promise of enduring nourishment and sustenance. The word true here means reliable. We can count on it. It will endure. This is food and drink that will last. In Jesus, there is no illusion of endurance. It is a reality that Jesus doesn't just promise in the future, but offers to us in the here and now. And what Jesus offers is not a product, but a person. Jesus offers himself to us. The Hebrews use the phrase flesh and blood to refer to the whole self of a person, body, mind, spirit, and soul. So when Jesus invites us to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, Jesus is offering his whole self to us as true food and true drink. He offers his provision that provides a safe place for us. He offers his love and care that protects us. He offers his presence that comforts us. He offers his wisdom and guidance that leads us. He offers his strength that holds us up when we don't have the strength to stand on our own. Jesus offers his whole self to us as true food and drink that will last. And he invites us to come and eat. Rather than consuming the broken promises of things that can't provide lasting sustenance, Jesus invites us to come to him and eat. And the verb that is used here in the Greek for eat in verse 53 refers to a chomping or gnawing. This eating that we're inviting to, that we've been invited to, is not just a polite tasting. Jesus invites us to consume him, to feast on him, to fully take him in, to fully take in his presence, to fully take in his provision, to fully take in his love and care and guidance, to fully take him into our beings. And this involves action on our part. We have to come to him and actively eat. This isn't a case where we sit on the sidelines, take a few nibbles, and watch other people eat. The image here is one of deep engagement with Jesus, where Jesus gives his whole self to us and wants us to give our whole selves to him. We consume Jesus, and he nourishes every part of our being, every nook and cranny of us. We consume Jesus, and Jesus becomes part of us, just as the food we eat becomes part of us. We are what we eat. And this kind of eating, consuming, that Jesus is talking about leads to deep attachment. William Cavanaugh wrote a book called Being Consumed. And in it, he claims the problem with consumerism isn't that it creates an unhealthy level of attachment between people and products. The problem with consumerism is that it creates an unhealthy level of detachment. In the pursuit for satisfaction, we can quickly move from product to product because we have no attachment to them. Once we get the shiny new iPhone we've been pining for, the satisfaction wanes, and we dream of the next new shiny iPhone that is on the market. We keep bouncing from thing to thing in the pursuit of ever-fleeting satisfaction, where there's no real attachment to anything. In stark contrast to this consumerism, Jesus offers himself to us as food and drink that provides enduring fulfillment. He invites us into a life of deep attachment, where Jesus is attached to us just as the food we eat sticks to our bellies. Jesus is attached to us, and we are attached to Jesus in an abiding relationship. And in this relationship of deep attachment, as Jesus offers his whole self to us and we consume him, he becomes part of us, part of the core of who we are. And it's important to note that Jesus offers himself to us as the living bread and says that he's in relationship with the living Father. This Father is the Creator God who brought life to the world, and this Jesus is the life-giving Word that brought all things into being. The focus here is not on the gift that God gives to us in Jesus' death, but the focus is on the gift that God gives to us through Jesus' life. Jesus offers himself to us as the bread of life. And as we consume him, take in his life-giving presence into our beings, we become people of life. We are what we eat. When we consume Jesus and become intimately attached to him in this relationship, we are shaped into people of life. We become more like Jesus, who brings life and love and hope to the world. We are what we eat. So how do we feast on Jesus? How do we do this? I think there are many ways that we can feast on him. There's not just one way. And it might look different for each person. It could be through reading the Bible and praying. Could be through singing. It could be through walking in the woods and communing with God through nature. It could be through accountability groups that help us grow in our relationship with God. It could be through addiction recovery groups that help us stay committed to the freedom that God offers us. It could be through yoga and meditation, as we become in tune with our inner being and the presence of God who resides there. There are many ways to feast on Jesus. One way that we feast on Jesus every Sunday is through Holy Communion. We come to this table with open hands. We receive the very presence of God as we consume bread and juice. We go back to our pews and out into the world being changed because of the presence of God that we have taken into our bodies. We come to this table, take in Jesus' whole life-giving self through bread and juice. And we are shaped into people of life who go out into the world and share the enduring life and love of God with a world that is full of broken promises. We are what we eat, and we are people of life. Week after week, day after day, we are invited to come to Jesus, the true food and true drink, and go out into the world living as people of life who are deeply attached to the giver of all life, ready to share that life with the world. Are you content with politely tasting the living bread? Or are you ready to fully feast?